Holmes and Watson are walking through a bustling part of West End London. We see hansom cabs pass by and many people jostling on their way. The Victorian image is complete with flickering gas lamps and an oncoming night mist.
I must say, Holmes, I enjoyed the show. Buxom ladies singing, one man juggling teapots, and somehow managing to pour a cup during the act. And as for little Titch, who was your favourite?
He is greeted with the great detective walking obliviously along.
Holmes! Holmes! Are you even listening to me?
Sorry, old boy. Now, what was the question?
Did you enjoy the show?
What show? Oh, that show. Not really, seeing as I wasn't watching it.
Just as I suspected. You seem to look a bit vacant, a bit like I do sometimes. But what is the point of paying good English pounds and taking all this trouble if you'll just...
Watson, don't look. But there's a shadowy figure holding a silver cane who's approximately 20 paces behind us. He has been following us since the theatre. Watson spins round. You looked.
Oops, sorry.
Well, come on, man, before he disappears into the fog.
The duo dash to where the man was.
Dash, the blighter's gone. Come on, dear chap, we can sometimes get things out of perspective. He might not have been actually following us. There's nothing for us here.
Oh, but there is, dear chap. He bends down to pick something up. The London Evening Standard.
Really, Holmes, it's just an old newspaper blowing in the wind.
There is no wind.
He tucks the newspaper under his arms.
Sometimes I think you could find trouble with your own shadow.
At that moment, a large shadow does indeed seem to bear down on Watson.
Oh, my!
Relax, old friend.
It is simply a hansom cab. Hail it down and let us rest our weary bones in front of our cozy fire, lovingly tended by Mrs. Hudson.
Weary bones? I'll have you know I was once a boxing champion.
Safely away from the light of the gas lamps and further hid by the fog, the figure with the silver cane taps it on the cobbled streets with patient regularity. Holmes and Watson are sat hunched up in the rich velvet of the cab. They are naturally jogged along as Holmes attempts to read the newspaper.
Do you mind? Reading in company is really not the etiquette of a gentleman. And even if I do say so myself, I am distinguished company.
Holmes has moved the paper aside in order to see his colleague.
Sorry, old chap. I did not intend to be rude, but I have an uneasy feeling that somebody might be trying to tell us something important.
Really, Holmes, off you go again. I think I'd prefer to think of that cozy fire. Should we ask Mrs. Hudson if she'll toast some crumpets on it?
Got it!
What, the crumpets?
Holmes suddenly knocks on the cab loudly with his own cane.
Driver, turn this cab round immediately and return to where we hailed you. Hurry! A man's life could be in danger.
What in blazes is going on?
Holmes shows him the newspaper.
Look at the headlines that are underlined.
Let me see then. Don a hat at Covent Gardens and Emma taken out of a manger. Well, I say, that is a bit...
Don't you see what it means?
Put a hat on a child's cot? I haven't the foggiest.
Then let me enlighten you, dear friend.
Take Emma, or shall we say an M from manger, and view the don in the university sense.
A don in anger?
Look, the D is underlined twice.
All right, I'll spell it out for you. A don in... Oh, danger! Amazing, Holmes!
I'm glad you think so, Watson.
Although it still sounds as ridiculous as those clandestine clues leading to our pursuit to Algiers,
the horse-drawn cab comes to a halt.
What are you waiting for? Out, Watson!
Watson mumbles and grumbles.
Go home to a nice cozy fire. Now get out and start a wild goose chase. Do this, Watson, do that. I don't know why I put up with it.
Holmes as good as bundles the moaning Watson out of the carriage. We are once again back on the fog-fueled streets of London.
It's no use, Holmes. I can hardly see a thing.
Who's that?
He points to a shadowy figure that seems to be fumbling in a doorway.
Our endangered lecturer, that's who.
They rush over to the gentleman and start engaging him in conversation. The figure with the silver cane is watching proceedings from a dark corner. The corners of his mouth frown in displeasure.
Why must they interfere?